we are all gathered together this morning to give praise unto your name, to worship you, to sit at your feet, to enjoy your presence, to bask in your glory. Father, we pray that you will speak unto us this morning, O Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding that we may behold wondrous things out of your laws. We pray that you will give our hearts insight into your words, for these words are the mysteries of your kingdom. And we pray that our eyes will be open. Heavenly Father, we also pray for grace and the enablement that what we learn of you will be able to put to practice in our lives, because it's only the things, Lord, that we put to practice that benefits us. So, Father, we pray for strength from above. We pray for the wherewithal to do according to all that we learn, to do that which pleases you. I pray, Lord, as your son this morning, that you will increase while I decrease, O Lord, that you will speak, Father. Use my tongue as your oracle this morning. Fill me with your spirit, O Lord. I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes in the place of worship, and thank you, Brother Wale, for leading us in the blessings that we prayed on each other this morning. As we gather, you know, one of those, from time to time, you just feel as if you don't want to leave the presence of God as we worship God. It dawned on me why the disciples of the Lord will say, let's build tabernacles at the transfiguration of Christ, and, you know, let's build one for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. Let's not leave this place, you know. But one day we're going to get to a place where we would not leave that place. And may we, by his grace, all make it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing to be, you know, in the presence of the Lord, as brethren, as siblings in Christ, worshiping him together. It is a beautiful thing. The Lord, by his grace, has made us his children more than just flesh and blood. When we hear the words of God, they are more than stories to us. The Bible says that they are life, their spirits, and their life to those who are alive in the spirit. If you see a dead man, if anybody has ever come across a dead body before, no matter how much you shout to that dead body, it cannot hear you. No matter how much you wave your hand before that dead body, it cannot see you. No matter how much you want the dead body to talk, it cannot say anything. And from time to time, you know, the Lord reveals these things to us for us to know who we are in Christ, that when we hear the words of the Lord and it enters our ears, it is more than just our ears it is entering. It is entering our ears, ears for the flesh, but it's also entering into our spirits, our souls and our spirits, because we are spirit people. We are not dead in the spirit. We are alive in the spirit. When we see the things of God, it is more than just our eyes, physical eyes alone, beholding it. It enters into our soul, into our spirits. And in the same way, when we speak as Christians, it is more than just words uttered from the mouth alone. Because we are souls and spirits, when we pronounce a blessing, we should believe it. Because as the children of God, the blessings we pronounce, they come to pass. Look at the patriarchs of old, filled with the Spirit of God, they spoke. And many of them, as they spoke upon their children, the things they said in the Spirit upon their children did come to pass. And we have to take the same the same mind, the same spirits, the same everything within us, to knowing that we are more than just flesh and blood. As much as and as long as the Spirit of God dwells within us, words we pronounce are words of life, and they are filled with power. Words we hear are more than just words for the ears alone. They permeate our spirit being. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 13, which is where I'd like to share with us from this morning. First of all, let me give us a preamble to how we got to that Matthew 13. I don't know how many of you have ever read about the time the Israelites were in exile. What got them there? After many centuries of God coming to them in his word through the prophets, they not listening to the prophets, God telling them that if they don't hear his words, he will take them into captivity. First, it was the Assyrian captivity. The Assyrians, they took the whole of Israel. And from that captivity, the northern kingdom never became a kingdom again. Just as, you know, I don't know how many of you know that Israel was divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom being Judah and Benjamin. The northern kingdom being the rest of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that happened during the time of Solomon. And so just some history. After that, the Assyrians took them. The northern kingdom was no more. They came back, they resettled, and they continued in their ways. God told them through the prophets that they will be taken again. The Babylonian captivity came. They were taken into captivity in Babylon. God told them that they'd be here for 70 years. It happened. Daniel began to pray. They were restored back to Jerusalem. Israel became a nation again. This time, not only was Israel in Jerusalem, but some of the remnants that had intermarried with the surrounding nations that God has told them they mustn't intermarry with them. And thus came what we call the Samaritans. And there was that enmity between the Samaritans and the purebred Jews who could trace their lineage back to Abraham, And that enmity between the Samaritans and the Jews started. After the captivity, God told them, they began the same ways again. For about 400 years, this time there are no prophets to speak to them. Then came the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, for the first half of his ministry, he was speaking to them in plain language. If you read what we saw a few months ago, read about on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke to them in plain language. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this. And they ridiculed Jesus. They ridiculed him to the point of knowing where he was born, how, in what circumstances he was born. They did not listen to him. And it came a point after the ridicule, after everything, it got to this very first time that Jesus now began to speak to them, not in plain language any longer, but in parables. And after the first parable, which we see in Matthew 13, I'll go further down a little bit, his disciples then asked him, why do you speak to these people in parables? Let me see where. Verse 10. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? Who are the them? The them, verse 1 tells us the them. The same day, Matthew 13 from verse 1, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. A great multitude. Thousands of people came to hear him. Thousands of people have been coming to hear him, not only because he spoke words that were more than what the religious leaders of those words of those days said. He spoke words with authority. More than that, he healed people. Many came to him for healing, and he did not discriminate. He healed everyone. So there was his fame that had begun to go into the hinterland, into the various cities, that more people were coming. Not only that, he turned bread and fish into many, many, many baskets. And so many came for food. Many came for healing. For whatever reason or the other, many people came, and they became the multitude. And these were the them that we see in verse 10. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, to Jesus, why do you speak to them, to a lot of these people, in parables? Because up to this time, Jesus had been speaking to them in language they could understand, in plain language. Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, unto his disciples, and this is the beauty, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not. To each and every one of you, the children of God, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. First of all, and we've said this before, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is the sphere of influence or authority where a king exists. So the kingdom of heaven is a sphere of authority in which Christ is the king. And there are some mysteries of that kingdom, which up till this time, Jesus has been speaking in plain language to them. But from this moment, Jesus began to speak to everybody, even his disciples. He began to speak to them in parables. But there was a difference. To the multitude, he will speak in parables. And then he will draw his disciples apart to explain further to them, to reveal to them the mysteries of the kingdom. You read the Bible to anybody out on the streets, they will know the stories. Some of them, you know, they grew up going to church. There are many, they know the stories of the Bible. If you read the Bible to any ordinary person that is not filled with the Spirit of God, it will just be like a storybook, nothing more. But to the person that is filled with the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ is saying, to those people, to such a person, has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. And I will dare say, there are many Christians today who do not know that there are mysteries. Mysteries in the kingdom of God that are discerned by the Spirit. There are secrets to the kingdom of God that are discerned by the Spirit of God, and that are made known to those who will follow him. One of the most terrifying verses in the Bible is where it says that the things that have been given unto you, if you don't use it, even those things will be taken away from you. To every one of us that we are hearing, like I said before, it is not only the hearing of the ear that matters, because there's a hearing of the Spirit, that what we hear, it has to go down into our spirit man. What we see, it is more than just the sight of the eyes alone. And these mysteries are the things I want us to begin to look at. Discerned by the Spirit of God. Discerned by the Spirit of God. Because if I were to ask any of us, can you tell me one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God? And tell me what it means. There's some who would know, there's some who would not know that there are mysteries to the kingdom of God. Let me show you something in the book of 1 Corinthians. Which God revealed to the Apostle Paul when he was writing to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I think it was in chapter 2 or 3. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll read from verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 from 14. And it says that, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what? They are foolishness. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God because they are foolishness unto them. Neither can he do what? Know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. The natural man cannot know the things of God because these things are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. In another place in 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul speaking to the Corinthians was telling them that the Spirit of God had made we as Christians, like the perfume of God. To the person who is perishing, that perfume is the perfume of death. To the person who is after the things of the Spirit, that perfume is the perfume of life. So there are certain things that we go beyond just the flesh to understand, that we go to ask God, Lord, help me to discern what you are saying here. Help me to understand the things that you are saying here. And I will dare say, my brothers and sisters, even till today, there are many pastors who stand on the pulpit who still discern the mysteries of the kingdom of God in the flesh, not by the Spirit of God. Take, for example, this very parable we see, the first parable Jesus Christ told the multitude in Matthew 13 that we were reading. That parable was the parable of the sower, or what they call the parable of the four soils. A sower went sowing seed. Into one soil, it yielded. Into another soil, it did not yield. Into another soil, it fell on stony ground. In another soil, and when you see some preachers preaching about this thing, about the mysteries of the kingdom, they say the seed that is sown is your seed of giving money to the house of God. And when you give money to the house of God, that money will be multiplied unto you 100-fold. These are the things, this is not the interpretation to start with. And you see why I said that the things of God are spiritually designed. Because what Christ, when he had taken his disciples apart, expanded to them, and it is even here in the Bible. So I do not understand how people have made this thing about money. Because what Christ said was that the seed that was being sown was the word of God. The word of God. Sown into the hearts of men, that it might yield a fruit of righteousness, that it might yield something to the glory of God. Now,
Men preaching that and people listening have now converted that to something beyond. Well, the Bible already told us the things of the spirits can only be spiritually discerned. What it tells me is that not everybody that stands on the pulpit to preach is of the Spirit of God. There are many who are still ruled by their bellies. There are many who still see with physical eyes. Who their thirst is not for the things of the Spirit. It's for the things of the flesh. It's for the comforts of the flesh. It is for the things of the earth. For the things they can see, they can touch, they can smell. But the Bible tells us that the things that are, the things we do not see, are the things that are. Those things are spiritually discerned. When we're reading in Hebrews chapter 11, those things are the things that those who endured all the suffering, yet they did not see physically, but their eyes had seen something spiritually, to a kingdom that was made not by the hands of men, but by the hands of God, which they were longing for. Now, let's go back to Matthew 13. And I want us to begin to lay a foundation today, because I want us to explore a little bit into the mysteries of the kingdom of God, which God did not reveal to people who were just after the things of the flesh. Listen again. Verse 10, Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said, unto them it has not been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The mysteries, brothers and sisters, I just pray that we can see the gift that God has given us by grace, how precious it is. That the mysteries of the kingdom of God has been revealed unto us, unto mere men, unto us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Can somebody read it for me? Yes, please.
As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. I should continue?
No, you can stop there. The prophets of old, God gave them certain prophecies about this grace that was to come through Christ Jesus. And it says that they longed to know what this mystery, what it was. They, by careful study, wanted to know what time was this thing going to take place. In another part, it says, even the angels, they longed to see what God was doing. Brothers and sisters, what the prophets long to see, what the angels long to see, is what we behold today. Does it not excite you? In other parts, the way Paul puts it, that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come, being conceived of men, what God has what? Prepared for those who loved him. But then he adds, it doesn't stop there. But unto who? Unto us, it has been revealed. Sorry? Unto us, the Holy Spirit has revealed it. what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, unto us it has been revealed of God. And what Christ is saying unto you, my brothers and sisters, these mysteries of the kingdom, it has been given for you to discern them, to know them by the Spirit of God. Now, let me, as we are excited also, we have to be warned. We have to be warned because the Bible says that to whom much is given, much is expected, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. To you, that the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom has been revealed by his Spirit. You should not take it with levity. You should not take it with, you know, we're talking about Esau. The things that God precious, made highly precious to him, he just treated it like McDonald's burger. The things that God holds precious, we have to hold it precious. The things that have been revealed to us by his Spirit, we have to take care. You know that some people, it says that they with careful attention began to go through what is God saying, but they did not know. They prophesied, but they did not know what they were prophesying, because they did not know what God was kept in the heart of God until God made it manifest in his Son. And the mysteries of the kingdom that has been revealed to us, let us not take it lightly. Let us be warned, because there was something that Jesus said unto, I don't know what city he went to, where he said that if these same things had been preached in Sodom and Gomorrah, that, look, you guys, what is being preached to you that you are hearing, hey, if other people had heard it and you are treating it, yobo, 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 yobo. The mysteries of the kingdom. So, in the next week, following weeks that we have, what I want to do is to go through some of these mysteries, to know that there are mysteries of in the kingdom of God that God reveals to those who desire it. It is not everybody that desires it. The multitude that came, some came for their bellies to be full. Today in Christianity, some come to Christ for their bellies to be full. The multitude that came, some came because Jesus was able to heal their bodies. In Christianity today, many come for the healing of their bodies only. Some come because they are seeking job. Some come because they are seeking children. Some come because they are seeking spouse. Some come because they are seeking protection from enemies. There are many reasons why the crowd will gather. And crowds, they gather everywhere today. And Jesus is telling us, it is beyond these things. There are mysteries of the kingdom of God which are designed by the Spirit of God. Because what you see, the crowd we are talking about is the crowd I want you guys, all of you, to be in. It's not the crowd that Jesus Christ was talking to here. The crowd I am speaking to, which I hope each and every one of us we're in, is the crowd that was talked about in Hebrews 12:1. There is a crowd, a great crowd of witnesses. But those who are mentioned in Hebrews 11, they're amongst that great crowd of witnesses. Because what they were seeking for was not just their bellies to be full, their bodies to be healed. These, on the contrary, were being sawn asunder. These, on the contrary, they endured pain. They endured whatever it took, because there was something that was shown to them. It wasn't only the physical eye that was seeing it. It was deep in their spirit. They had seen a kingdom that they were pursuing. That is the crowd I pray and I hope that I will be talking to about the mysteries of the kingdom. Because there are certain things which, if I speak to any ordinary church, people will be leaving. The mysteries of the suffering of Christ in the body of a Christian, we haven't even talked about that. There are mysteries which are discerned by the Spirit. There are certain things that Christ wants to speak to those who seek for the deeper things concerning him, not just for the ephemeral things, not just for the things that, you know, suit the body, suit the flesh. There are those who will gravitate to the carnal. There are those who will gravitate to the spiritual. And I want us to begin to look at the mysteries of the kingdom. Because if there's a kingdom we want to be a part of, we better know the principles of that kingdom. And may the Lord open the eyes of our understanding. We've already talked about the first part. Maybe we'll revisit it again. But in this chapter 13, if you look at, and please, for next week, I want us all to read Matthew chapter 13, because we want to go through some of these parables. The mysteries of the kingdom of God were all revealed in parables. Parable of the mustard seed. Parable of the sower. Parable of the lost coin. Parable of the lost son. In parables after parable. Because to the people who are only after the things of the flesh, there'll be stories and that is all. But to the people who have received it by the discernment of the spirits, there will be more than stories. There will be deep, deep, deep mysteries. Things that we hold. You know, when he said that the man who beholding something went to sell all he has for that pearl of great price. And that is what we are seeking. Because embedded in the word of God is this pearl of great price. But we have to crack the word open to find it. We have to crack the word open to find it. And we have to ask the Lord to reveal it, open our eyes that we may be able to behold it. Amen. We'll stop there today. God willing, next week we'll continue from where we have stopped. Amen.